It's the Bad Advice Show.
We hit him with the free.
We hit him with the.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It's been a minute, but we're back with that thing.
And we are hitting you with a freebie because our good, good, good friend, Sarone Russell, is out of the office this week. We could call it out of the office, right?
Yeah, we could definitely call it out of the office.
We're official. We do business people things.
I know we've been promising people to have guests on, and I think now more than ever, we will be calling on people to fill in when one of us is missing.
And hit him with the heat.
Hit him with the heat.
What happened to tweet?
I don't know. I feel safe to blame it on niggas.
Ooh, you niggas.
I just feel like whenever a girl goes missing in hip hop or R&B or acting, feel like the root cause is niggas.
Wait, who's the rapper that opened up a song is on Timbaland's record? Boom 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 boom. Ah, damn, I can't even think of the song now.
You're not talking about Magoo.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
No?
No, it was a lady rapper.
You thinking about Nicole Ray?
Yes, there we go.
I got what you want, got what you need.
Yes.
She was, I think, a singer though.
Won't. I got what you need. Bam, 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 bam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She rapped in the beginning of that song, right?
Oh, you know what she did?
Okay. Okay.
Who that? Nicole Ray.
Yep.
She was so pretty. Is so pretty because I think she's still like that stuff.
Good.
She good. Just has like good. Perfect face.
Oh man. We might as well get it out the way. It is that other thing. Me and Mel, we lived watched and text with each other during Chris Rock's special.
But I actually want to talk about Ja Morant first.
Ooh.
Can we do that? Can we save that for dessert?
Hot button issues, baby. Give me hot button issues tonight.
Right, I think the funniest part was Paul Pierce saying, I don't care. I carry my gun. Like, didn't you get fired over Instagram, nigga?
Didn't you get stabbed by Benzino?
Paul Pierce got stabbed. He's the one who got stabbed by Benzino?
I believe so.
Well, I get why he carries a gun. Because he did say, after I got stabbed, I carried a gun. So
Yeah. I don't know if it was about Benzino. I don't want to put that out in the streets. But I know he got stabbed.
But he wasn't flashing it around. He had a gun like a normal adult. Nobody cares about Ja Morant having a gun.
Ja Morant has had an energy this season that I haven't seen in a while. Granted, I know he got the new contract. More money. He's established. He's got that max deal. Nike's talking with him. He's got Memphis happy that he's there. But also, bro, you acting like you ain't got $200 million on the line.
Like, dude, the thing about it, Ja Morant can act exactly how he's acting and more or less be okay. I think a lot of us we're older. We're in our 30s and 40s.
Yep.
So we've seen, like, we saw Sprewell. We saw, we saw other up-and-comers kind of wild out a little bit. And it was just, but now that we're older, we got experience, blah, blah, blah. We look at it differently. And it's like, I have seen comparisons to Boys in the Hood. I've seen mm-hmm. comparisons to fucking Dolph. Can we not put him on a t-shirt yet? Where's T? Like, John Moran is 23 years old. How much could your daddy tell you about yourself at 23. I'll wait.
And I say this with kindness. Ja Morant daddy, T, need a daddy. The way he be acting at basketball games.
Does he? Because I saw some like pictures and it looked like Clarence's parents got a real good marriage.
He be wilding on the sidelines sometimes.
Oh, he was the one who was about to fight with Shannon, right?
Yes, sir. I get it. I don't know how I would act if I had a child who was in the NBA making $200 million, but I would hope I would not be the focal point for my child.
Yeah, I'm not going to be the focal point. I am going to dress like a drug dealer's girlfriend from the 90s.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Definitely. We'll be doing that.
Look, I just, for those who don't know, Ja Morant has had, outside of the Shannon Sharpe situation, from what's reported, I'll go by what's reported, had three other instances of, let's say, what's a nice word? Fracas?
He's causing a little ruckus.
Causing a little bit of ruckus.
Making a mischief.
There was a situation where a mall security guard said that he got into a scuffle with a mall security guard.
Mm-hmm.
There is a situation where he may or may not have punched a 17-year-old during a pickup game in the face a dozen times and flashed a gun. And then the last instance is him flashing maybe, well, it's on IG. He flashed what looks like a gun on Instagram.
Whenever people talk about playing the tiniest violin in the world,
mm-hmm.
I feel like whatever the next size up from that violin would be that gun that he had in that picture.
So, like, listen,
we found out it's all like it's shtick.
Oh my
I just
God.
Carry small things.
Listen, I've been to Memphis, and it's a beautiful city, great food. I don't think people fully understand how of a small, racially charged city Memphis is. Because when I stayed in Memphis, I stayed in a hotel that was next to a Planned Parenthood that was right next to a park with the Confederate flag statue. So it's a lot going on down there.
I mean, a lot. I don't think we really need. I think we understand the how racial it is. Like that's why they shot Martin Luther King Jr. Like,
yeah, they didn't like that joke when I did that when I was down there.
I'm sorry, they didn't like that joke. They didn't like that joke as if there was one.
So I did the Memphis Comedy Festival, and when I was there, my opening joke was, and if anyone from Memphis hears this and you go, why did they actually leave Memphis? This is the reason why. I said, man, Memphis is so good. You guys got great food. The crowd cheered. I was like, man, you got some great restaurants. Your ribs are amazing. Crowd cheered. And I was like, man, the food here is so good. It almost makes me forget that Dr. King got murdered here.
And you were asked to leave?
Yep.
Like immediately? Did they let you finish your set?
Oh, I finished my set. But they were like, yo, yeah. People are sensitive about that down there. I was like, yeah. I am too.
Me too. Wow. Imagine that. Commonalities.
So yeah. Everyone's like, yo, the money thing, why is he at the mall? This and the third. I'm like, yo, they ain't got Louis Vuitton boutiques next to the Confederate statues down there. So not that I know of. If you know more about Memphis, it is a classier place than what I've seen when I was there a couple years ago. Please let me know. I would love to be wrong. Love to be wrong. But like, I'm not saying that he's a victim of his environment, but I'm just saying, yeah, I want him to do better, and I wish that he was in, had better company. And I don't even know if I can even blame it on the company. I think it's wrong for me even to say better company.
Well, here's the thing. A company does help shape who you are. Now, I don't think your company can make you become somebody you weren't already, you know. But it shapes, like, you know, the choices you make and where you go from here. If you're getting, if you're on the kind of edge and the difference is making a good decision or a bad one, and your friends, your company are notorious for making bad decisions, and that's your source, that's your advice source, that, you know, you might be fucked up.
Yeah.
I think that Jazz being 23.
Yes. That's another thing.
And it's really the unfortunate part of it is he's 23 with a lot of money, a lot of eyes on him. And probably to a certain extent, dealing with pressure.
Yeah.
Just that, like, you went from kind of not quite a Cinderella story, but they had a good year. Was it? I don't think it was last playoff season, maybe the playoff season before. Where it was just, you know, Memphis was a contender, right? So you go from that to settling into this being your normal. You the man now.
Yeah.
That's not at 23. And I'm not saying that to cry over him. I'm saying you need to, A, respect your hard work, and B, get the help you need to work through that. You ain't broke. You can afford a therapist, nigga. I got extra regular pockets and I got a therapist.
Hey, but I don't know many 23-year-olds that would concede to their, I don't know many 30-year-olds or 40-year-olds.
And the truth of the matter is the fact that therapy is not mandatory for these young men who are going from, you know, middle class obscurity, you know, sometimes poverty, to millionaires, multimillionaires. That is a huge shift. And just like they pay money for everything else, they should be paying for therapy. That should be a standard part of the process. There should be something for players coming in, and there should be something for players going out.
Yeah. Like, I wholeheartedly agree with you. Like, if I'm a billion-dollar industry and I have a seemingly, from 17 to 25-year-old employee base, I think I need to do a lot to try to keep you sane. Because, like, honestly, I think there's something underlying between all this. Like, I was telling a lot of my friends, was like, you don't know what he's going through at home. It might be something else. He might be dealing with, like, a breakup. He might be dealing with, like, being a father at this young age and wanting to do right, supporting his family, which he's doing. And it's a lot going on.
We're recording this. Sorry.
No, what were you saying?
We're recording this on Sunday the 5th. And today is BB's birthday. Happy birthday, BB the Great. I love you.
Oh, man, BB the Great.
And I was talking to her. I did the same thing I did with Tyson. I was like, yeah, you are now the age I was when I was trying to be somebody's mama. Ooh. Think about that.
Ooh.
I ain't no shit.
Mm.
I ain't no shit.
Mm.
And I guarantee you 23 wasn't no better, you know? So there's just a lot of things, but the truth is he's not a person without resources.
That is very true.
He also needs an OG in his corner. And I'm not talking about like a parent. I'm talking about like that age between you and your parents, like that somebody 10, maybe 15 years older who knows a little bit of the game and can yank your chain a little bit, where they're not so old, so much older and out of touch like you feel your parents are.
Mel,
that was the people who always helped me.
Mel, I said this before on the Bad Advice Show, and now I'm saying it here. We have a great business idea that we need to implement and make it a startup company, we need to have a company for young Black adults, a hotline or a service where when you need to make a decision, you can call someone that is 35 plus and is Black.
The name of the company is Big Homies. Nah, little homie, you moving very goofy.
Now, what you about to post? A pistol.
Somebody who's just like looking at your Instagram, get your stupid ass home.
Maybe we could have like an Instagram service before you post anything. Or when you post it, it goes through us as a filter. Well, nigga.
It goes through the Big Homie. They're filtering your lives.
We sent a one paragraph reply, one sentence to a paragraph reply why this was dumb.
It's 3 o'clock and you flashing guns when you should be asleep.
Don't you got
me? You want to talk? Do we have to talk about the bad decisions or are you just going to do the right thing?
Nigga, ain't you supposed to be headed to Sacramento? What are you doing? Take big your homies. Ass. Yeah, Big Homies. Oh, Big Homie LLC. That's what we need to come up with. That's there. Yeah. That's ours now. Oh, but yeah. Do you feel like you give a lot of young people advice? Outside of your kids, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, people come to me for advice.
Oh man. Do you feel a lot of
like my friends' kids who are a little older than mine? They'll, you know, yeah.
Do you feel pressure when they come to you, or do you like you keep it real with them and like you hope they do the best?
I keep it real with them.
Okay.
Depending on how much, like, depending on my relationship with the parent, I may, depending on the conversation, I may say, yeah, we talked about this, you know, blah, blah, blah. You are right, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it happens.
Oh, man.
And I don't feel pressure because one of the things that I approach in a conversation is that you're not going to know everything, and couldn't nobody tell me shit either. So I'm telling you this, knowing you might not listen, and I need you to know that even when you don't listen, and even when it blows up, I still love you, and I'm still going to help you on the other side of this.
Hey, man. That's all you can do. I always aim to be somebody's Uncle Phil. Yeah, he's a... Yeah. Out of all the TV dads, I think he was the least problematic. So, yeah. That's why.
He is the best TV dad.
Yeah.
And now that we have talked about Uncle Phil,
uh-oh.
I feel like that's a good segue.
Uh-oh. Here we... Let's do it. All right, everybody. If you were home on a Saturday night and you had Netflix or share a Netflix account, you might realize that Netflix... I had a live event, and that live event was Chris Rock's special, Selective Outrage.
Chris selected some of them facts.
All
right.
Well, let's get to it. What was one of the biggest topics?
So. Weekend. I want to say this is, I watched a few of Chris Rock specials,
mm-hmm.
and I think this is the first time I went without any kind of laugh for the amount of time I did.
Ooh.
Like in the beginning, like that start was rough. Not only was that start rough, but these are like jokes he worked. Because people were like, yeah, we saw these jokes a year ago.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be real with you. The one thing that does break my heart as a comedian, and I try to keep an open mind about, is like a young comic has the freedom of not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And learning and speaking of a place of learning. And a lot of comics that we see today on Netflix specials and things like that, they're not these fresh ideas. They're coming from these older people that a lot of young people are just like, I can't relate to this at all. Because he spoke about divorce and family and a lot of things someone between the ages of 17 to, I want to say 17 to 30 might not be able to relate to.
He was very much speaking to what his demographic has become.
Mm-hmm.
And since we remember Chris Rock as a young, fresh comic,
mm-hmm.
we think that he is still going to be interested in keeping a young, fresh audience. And I don't think that's true.
Oh, spitbar.
I think his demographic is Black people who vote for Trump.
Ooh. I ain't going to say.
If they didn't full out vote for him, they came dangerously close.
Yeah, I felt like they were in that box like, meh,
Like they were Hillary for that first one, but that second one,
yeah, they're like, yeah, they were in there way too long. Someone tapped on the curtain. Hey, you good in there?
Yeah, I want to say this before I go into any other critique.
Please.
Chris Rock showed us why he is going to go down in history as one of the greatest ones to ever do it.
Yes.
Chris Rock, I'm not debating this. Chris Rock in the field of comedy is one of the greatest comics to do it.
Yes.
Period. He checks all the boxes. This is the truth. This is the truth. However, Chris Rock also shows you why his prime was 30 years ago or 20 years ago, wherever we are now.
Yes.
And that was the, like, Chris Rock never been funny. Chris Rock ain't funny. You a fucking liar. Chris Rock.
Yeah.
That nigga was the nigga. And so we don't, the other thing that, again, I think sometimes people mistake who Chris Rock's audience is or was. Chris Rock was never for you, Black people. Chris Rock was, I won't say he was never for Black people, but Chris Rock's approach was still a gamble, but safe, angry Black man.
Yes.
You know. Oh, I'm man, angry. I have a reason. I got facts. I got receipts. I got jokes. And that, yeah, for us. But if you're trying to make money, and Chris Rock was trying to make money,
mm-hmm.
13%, a percentage of 13% of the population can't be your only audience.
Oh.
That can't be your, it's not, you know, that's just not. And, this nigga popped up on Saturday Night Live. You know, this is not.
Let's not forget what like his big occupation was. Yeah. Like before, like we knew him as the stand-up comic. We got to see him more as a character on SNL.
So the thing about it, he hasn't though really matured at all. He is in his 57-year-old body, but talking about his 30-something-year-old angst.
Ooh.
Because you still making like young nigga fuck ups. You still making young nigga fuck ups.
Yeah, you 57 making these dumb side chick.
It's and like we not trying to fuck Doja Cat. Shut the fuck.
Inside baseball, that joke used to be Rihanna.
Yeah. Was that joke Rihanna until she looked through him at a party or some shit?
Yep. And he talked about that. Like I behind the scenes baseball, like, yeah, he talked about that, about how Rihanna overlooked him and like how he felt old when she did that to him.
And that's like,
I'd much more rather hear him talk about that.
The thing about it, he's not going to do that because his ego is still hurting. And so that's why his jokes come off as nasty. And it's not that they're different. It's just a nastier tone than he had before. It is. Like, you could, just like his delivery. It's just the energy is different.
Yeah.
And that, whether people want to admit it or not, makes a difference. It's a difference when you're telling these jokes, kind of poking fun at yourself a little bit, and when you're still mad at this bitch.
Like I always tell people, some of the greatest comedy comes from pain plus time equals funny.
But he's still in it.
Yeah.
And I don't think getting the shit smacked out of you at the Oscars is going to help a midlife crisis.
See, but that's the thing. That's a year of kind of taking in something like that situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need more than a year to kind of take that situation to digest that situation.
So the thing about it, a couple of things about it.
Please.
The thing that really bugged me was his white people are looking at you.
The closer.
Like, that was so... He dropped the mic, but that was so incredibly weak. And honestly, antithetical to why people liked him, because even though he was talking to black folks, I mean, talking to white folks,
yeah,
that was not... The approach was more, yeah, I know these white folks looking.
Yeah.
And this is different. Interesting that he, like, so first of all, I got to say, him making up that he got smacked over the entanglement shit.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. First of all, we saw the joke. We saw what happened. We all saw you get the shit smacked out of you and why. And it's like kind of a twofold thing, because was Will probably heated about having to be at this public shit with all the entanglement shit going on? I'm certain nobody who has something like important going on wants their significant other's bullshit to be pulling focus.
Yes.
So he's hot about that. But the thing is, it's not, he didn't smack this one because there was a bitch. He didn't smack that one because there was a bitch. You can't smack nobody for some shit that your girl did. And people are discussing it. Mm-hmm. And if your 40-something-year-old wife is fucking a 22-year-old, her son's friend, that's gonna be talked about, and you can't do shit about it, because not only did it happen, but she put it on her TV show.
Yep.
So y'all brought us into some shit that we did not want or need, and Chris Rock ain't wrong about that. Like, you went on a tour with that shit.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that is not why he got the shit smacked out of him.
He got smacked the shit out of him because of what he said in that moment.
He made fun of a black woman's hair loss in a room full of white people. And he's acting like he doesn't know why that's important. And people are saying, no, that's not why he did it. Yes, that's exactly why. And that is worthy. And that is different. There's a difference between laughing at some goofy, foul shit your girl did and making fun of her hair loss. Can't smack the shit out of them because they're right, but you dead ass wrong, so I'm gonna knock fire out of your ass. And that's what happened.
My thing was, when I watched that, it was so complicated for me for watching that, because, like, I don't think that's the reason why he got slapped about the entanglement shit. But he did want to address, and like I feel like he wanted to call Will Smith a bitch and found a convenient way of doing it. And that's what the joke was, or he attempted in that situation.
But
I don't think...
I'm sorry.
No, I don't think he fully gets that, though. Or he wants to see that that way.
The other thing is, he said everybody else was calling Will a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
He never actually called Will a bitch.
Oh, no, he definitely did. He definitely didn't. Because that was the reason why you got that big laugh when he said... When the last everyone's like everybody and like I'm like, all right, we get the point. I got the point.
Yeah, like, he was like, everybody was calling you a bitch. He did not call Will a bitch. He didn't even call Will a bitch in the set. Nope. He called Jada a whole bunch of bitches.
Mm. That he did.
A whole heap of bitches. And the thing about it was, if he would have brought that bit up as just an honest bit and clowned her on that, I have a different opinion on that. But that's not what he did.
No.
He presented it in this disingenuous way to take a shot and to make it seem like it's a righteous shot. No, that nigga slapped the fuck out of you on TV. You do not have to play nice.
I'm going to say that.
Up to these white people, I'm just retaliating. I'm a little guy. I don't know if you can tell, but Will Smith is... Like, really? You went the giant Negro? That's what you did? Speaking of... That Draymond Green comment?
Ooh.
I hope he got written permission for that one. Because Draymond Green will also smack the shit out of you.
Mm. I hate how Draymond Green has become... The name Draymond Green has become the new Wesley Snipes bit.
That was so needlessly ugly. It was so needlessly ugly. Like, that shit was not funny. That shit was not... Like, okay, so, let me... Lululemon was fucking funny. Racist Leggings was fucking funny. I laughed at them Meghan Markle jokes.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Some of them shits was funny. Some of them shits was funny. But even with that, he could have, like... It was a lot of heat for Meghan. You ain't have a whole lot for Harry.
Nope.
Little shit like that that makes you suspect.
I get you on that one.
Something else. Like, his kids, some of the stuff about his kids was pretty funny.
I enjoyed that most of all from the whole set, because I thought that was a lot of honesty and a lot of a little still pettiness about divorce, but
yeah,
a lot of like, this is the way I parent. It gave you an insight of who he is as a parent. Which
but
I
it kinda... also it also went too long. Like, he was telling them Cliff Huxtable ass stories.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another thing. Like, Chris Rock has known for years how to start a joke, how to end a joke. So watching him drag jokes a little bit, ugh.
But like, you also gotta remember, well, I don't know if you know this or not. Like, he's friends with Seinfeld. They go watch Cosby perform live all the time. And they view him as someone to model themselves after. I don't know if they still do or not, but like when they did comedy documentaries years ago, they boast about how Cosby and his style and what he does is revolutionary.
So let me say there's the difference between the Cliff Huxtable story and a Bill Cosby story. So let me say that. So when I talk the Cliff Huxtable story, I'm talking about he stretches his arms out and rolls his eyes back and just wanders on. That was like a running joke, running gag on the show. I'm not talking about that. Now, if you want to talk about storytelling.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby knew how to weave even a long story together. He knew how to break it up.
Yeah.
At the right points. Chris Rock did not perfect that, because that wasn't for years that wasn't his style
at all. I was more infatuated with the attempts that he was making. The fact that he was on a live show as a comic, I thought it was cool. Outside of that, even to see like when he messed up during a joke, I was like, wow, how does he recover from this? Because it's live, second, third. But the attempt was something that I was in awe of. Other than that, he had moments.
So if I wouldn't have known the facts, you know, if I wouldn't have had the facts mm-hmm. around, you know, the Will Smith thing, that closer would have been stronger than it was.
Yes.
I wouldn't have liked white people, you know, which you don't do in front of white people, because I just do not give a fuck one way or the other. Like, yeah. I don't think you need to perform, but I also don't think you need to perform, period.
True.
He owns what he does. Chris Rock knows how to own a room. Like, all these motherfuckers watch the joke that he told that got him smacked, and I'm looking at Twitter being like, yeah, he right. He ain't smacked nobody else over Jada, because that wasn't the joke. And yeah. Chris Rock, despite what you saw with your lying eyes, was able to flip something that, like, he Fox News'd you.
I honestly still don't believe that he sees it that way. I honestly believe that he doesn't view it that way. Even if he does and he's not admitting it, this was his way of, like, stamping it, like, nah, that's not the way I saw it.
That nigga got YouTube and he can reference the joke that he told because he got smacked on national television, and that would tell him that it wasn't an entanglement joke.
Man, I went to the movies to go watch Good Hair, the documentary that he had. And I'm just like, yo, bro.
You don't get to plead ignorance, because, like, were you playing in my face then or are you playing in my face now?
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm just like, it's left me in a weird position, because, like, I've seen him perform. I know his brothers and things like that, but it's just like, come on. Not all this is a surprise to you, man.
And none of it is Chris Rock, how could you? Like, I don't go to or I don't watch his stand up to get a past a certain level of insight. Mm-hmm. I know that Chris Rock is going to say some things that are sharp, that are going to make me laugh. And I know he's going to say some shit that shows that he's part of the Trumpiest generation. I know this. Mm. Right. So there was no great disappointment. Also, like, if I got smacked and I couldn't do anything else about it, I'm probably going to, like, tap dance around, call. Now, I might actually call you a bitch, but, like, so that even, like, the thing with Will Smith, I don't, like, he is obviously still hurt, and he said as much.
Yeah.
And that's what some of that is. I think another year and this is a funnier set.
Oh, I 100% believe that. I think he had his back against the wall because he knew he had to do the special. The lockdown pushed it back, and they capitalized on a situation that happened at the Oscars to benefit the company for Netflix in that way.
And the thing about it, he opened up with something that I think is very true about the most addictive drug or whatever being attention.
Yeah.
But there is no better showcase for that than you going on a streaming service and not mm-hmm. just putting it on streaming, making it a live fucking event.
Speak on
spending
it.
Spending 5 minutes on a woman that you presumably hate.
Ten.
Ten.
10.
And you did it because you knew that's why people were tuning in. So, yeah. Yeah, we all on that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
We are all like, it's hard, and we'll, you know, talk about each other's egos, but we all on that shit. If you are on social media, you are on that shit.
Do you believe he actually reached out to Will? That no. That's what the one thing I've always
like wondered. With the entanglement shit?
Yeah.
That wouldn't have been his first time getting smacked by Will Smith if he had.
Cause like I know he worked on, well, he did a feature, was it a feature? Or he did a guest appearance on Fresh Prince. I know they have mutual friends because they both work in Hollywood and like they're at the level that they're at. But I'm just like,
There's no reason for Chris Rock to call Will Smith about his marriage. That would not end in him getting the shit smacked out of him.
I don't know. You never reached out to somebody like just because you knew them and they was you thought they was going through something?
Like their marriage?
You know what? Now that you say marriage, got me rethinking. I was like, yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Like a sick grandparent, yes. Your marriage, you're gonna have to take that one to the king. I ain't got it.
Ain't got the answers for you, homie.
Nope. Cause marriage is tricky. That's why I don't talk about people's marriages. I don't like it's why he would. It's something there. It yep. does not matter how unhappy a motherfucker looks. If they not leaving, they not leaving for a reason.
That ain't none of your business.
And you will never get it.
Yep.
And they can tell you, I would do it if. When you don't want to do some shit, trust me, you stop doing that shit. So, no, I don't believe that he reached out, and even if he reached out, I don't believe it was in good faith.
I can see that.
Because he doesn't like, it's pretty clear he doesn't like Jada. You got to keep that in mind too.
I find it hard to believe that he doesn't like Jada. Like, I have this whole thing, like, because I'm the type of person, if I work with you and, like, we work on a project that we make money together, like, and I've said this to multiple comics, if we work together on a continuous basis, I'm the type to be like, hey, yo, let's have a drink, let's hang out, let's talk, let's, like, we out here working together, we might as well get to know each other, like, we only same fucking job, we got to do these goofy-ass press conferences about this movie and like whatnot, like let's fucking know each other. I want to know who I'm around. And if they don't got that type of relationship, because like for those who don't know, like yeah, they made how many Madagascars together? Three? Two?
It's at least what, three?
Yeah. And I find it hard to believe, like y'all made three animated movies. Granted, it's voice over acting. But you still got to do press together. You still got to go do these meetups together. So I'm just like, if y'all got bad blood like that, why even step into that realm? I would have left it alone. Why even poke the bear at the Oscars? So apparently it must, like, you're absolutely right. There must have been a lot of bad blood between them.
Would you clown my hair loss?
No.
Is there any way in life that you would find yourself clowning my hair loss?
No. No, that's the thing too. Like if I'm the type of person that like when I joke, I leave our personal jokes out of it. Like, if I know too much about you, I'm not going to bring it up on stage. I'd much rather say it to you. Because, like, if I say the jokes that I have about you, I want to say it to you.
Yeah.
I don't want people going, what that mean? Fuck out of here.
Yeah, if we got beef like that, you know, And so I don't know. I would love to hear what the audience thinks about, like, A, what they thought of the special. I will not argue with you about the special. All feelings are valid. Well, all feelings will be respected.
Hashtag Bad Advice Show. Hashtag TOT. It's called that other thing. So, yeah, that's the other thing that we do. So, man. All right. That's enough of that Chris Rock special talk. Let's get to another topic. Because there's a lot that's been going on this week. What's one thing? Like, oh, yo, shout out to everybody that came to Drunk Black History. Shout out to everybody that, gave, like, great reviews and super excited because you guys came out in such droves. We got a special surprise coming up with another show. I'm not going to announce it yet, but just be on the lookout for it. Mel, we got to talk about Sundown Towns.
You got to, and at this last.
Yep. We talked about Sundown Towns. And the one thing that's weird but kind of cool about doing it in New York is the fact that you get a lot of people that aren't of Black culture learning something about our culture that they did not know. And Sundown Towns were the big topic that a lot of people didn't know about. We had the homie Rod from Black Guy Who Tips talks about it.
Yo.
And it sent a lot of people that weren't Black into a uncomfortable tizzy. Because I asked at one point during the show, I was like, hey, can y'all still name some Sundown Towns that still exist?
Was one Vida, Texas?
Ooh, I did. No, I didn't hear that.
Then add Vida, Texas to your list. Honestly, I don't even know if Vida, Texas is a sun up town. I think you should just wait till you get to Orange.
Okay. The big one that a lot of people, multiple people, people that was even on the internet that watched the show said, which I didn't know about, was Anna, New Orleans. Not Anna, Illinois. There we go. Sorry about that. Illinois, Anna. And there was a nice person in the crowd that told us about Anna and what the Black community calls Anna. And it stood for Ain't No Niggas Allowed.
Oh. Well, ain't that something?
Yeah. And it was just eye-opening. Not only for me, but like for a ton of people in the room. And like that's the one thing I do love about I love doing Bad Advice Show because like we're able to show people the funny in a lot of different things, but I also like doing Drunk Black History because like we someone said it to me. He was like, yo, you guys are doing critical race theory without even saying it's critical race theory. And I was like, you goddamn right. Yeah, goddamn right. Too bad it's getting outlawed in certain states. But other than that, it's a dope experience.
You're not going to be able to be Black here.
Ugh. You know politics better than I do. I just know I need to keep doing my part, keep having my fun and education for helping people. I don't even know if it's education. I just want to share these stories. Because that's all it is. It's just sharing of stories, sharing of experiences. What do you got on your mind?
I'm excited. This week was this about 6th anniversary.
Ooh.
Popping up. So gonna be all kind of nifty goodies for that. Making some new videos. The podcast is coming back. Launching a newsletter, big time stuff.
Oh man,
big time stuff. So that's like, and then I have a writing project I have going on. I've got a conference I'm playing. It's like a good year for me. All nice. My stuff is work. I'm really like a workaholic cat lady, and I don't know how that happened.
Hey, staying busy is a good thing.
Even though I took some time today. I went to a crawfish boil by one of my good girlfriend's house. And
you went and got the crawfish?
At the Humphrey.
How'd you like it? Like, I had a couple friends that actually...
It was amazing. She bought like 2 sacks of crawfish. She gets live crawfish and boils them.
Okay. Right?
And so she had big ass crabs, garlic, potatoes, sweet potatoes, corn, 3 kinds of sausage. I had alligator sausage. Yum.
How is alligator sausage?
It's so good.
Really?
It's delicious.
Huh. I never would have guessed it.
It's really good.
What's the name of alligator sausage again?
Alligator sausage. She was okay. She went to the West Wego Seafood Market.
Yeah.
But I don't know where else. I mean, I'm sure there are other places that they sell it here, but that's where she got it from. And okay. It was so good. If you go to the Harris Buffet, the casino.
Yeah.
They used to have a buffet that had alligator sausage on the buffet. I don't think I've ever actually seen it at my grocery store in a while.
I've had the best omelet at a casino in Las Vegas. And it's been on my mind ever since I've been in Las Vegas.
Casino food is dope.
Oh my God. Who are you telling?
It's like you're eating the broken dreams of your fellow man.
Ooh.
I mean, you know.
Not the broken dreams.
The only way they're able to have them nice-ass buffets is because people losing their livelihood in that bitch.
Bruh. That's why they give them free tickets.
Go get you some eggs. Just stupid ass.
Yeah, you really shouldn't have doubled down on 2-2s.
Here's a margarita, jackass. Go make something out yourself.
Help yourself.
Oh. Have enough of these to make some more bad decisions.
Yes. Sober up so you can come back. Oh, man. What else is there? Like, there was another topic that I wanted to get to, but I couldn't even think of anything. I just need to let my mind go and just be free because this is that other thing. Yeah, we got into a lot of flack about the dog shit.
Matt, he was like, he showed me a picture of his beagle.
Oh my God.
And I love him, so I ain't tell him to joke away.
Yeah, a lot of people listen to that. Yo, if you got to all those that own the dogs that we listed as the most racist, look, man.
I am talking especially about your dog. Some of y'all dogs do look like they, you know,
yeah,
haven't yet decided where they fall on the prison industrial complex. That's all I'm saying.
You might just be the black friend, your dog. Watch this Chris Rock with. But yeah, we got into a little bit of a ugh about the dog stuff.
But we are not wrong.
No, we're not.
We are not retracting the list.
No, not at all.
But I'm sure your dog is one of the good ones.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. All right. Man, it's March. And, St. Patrick's Day is coming up. Hey, I meant to ask you about this. How do you feel about black folks celebrating St. Patrick's Day?
I mean, if you're not scared of racist bar fights, who are me to tell you to stay home?
Ugh, I feel like March has slapped us so hard. Like I feel like a lot of companies and just people just been itching for March, and they're like, thank God it's here. I can finally be me again.
I definitely went out a couple of for a couple of St. Patrick's days, and I looked around and I'm like, oh, if a race war breaks out now, we are definitely gonna lose the battle of this bar.
We're not, we might not lose the war, but the battle of
But
that
that
bar.
bar, yeah, we were gonna lose in there. I feel like if the specials look too good, you need to carry your black ass somewhere else. There's a certain amount of Jameson that is not going to be safe for you.
It never is. I'm honestly, I'm gonna be very honest with you. The only thing I'm excited for is it's the only time of year that you can order an Irish car bomb and not look crazy.
I think people should be looking at you crazy, calling it that. I think there's another name for it now.
No, it's not.
That is a terrible name for a drink.
I like my bar that I go to, the bartender I go to, good friend of mine, Alex. I'm doing a show with him pretty soon. They invented, well, I should say they invented, but they've taken what they've the that name I just said and called it a grenade. And what it is Guinness, Bailey's Irish cream, and a shot of whiskey.
Jameson,
So,
right?
yes.
It's Guinness, Baileys, and Jameson.
Yes, there we go. I don't even know what the fuck I just said. But yeah, Jameson. So basically what you do is you pull out it's two shots stuffed into a top of a Guinness. It's one has Bailey's, the other has Jameson, and the Guinness is at the bottom. You pull out the Jameson shot, you chug that. Because when you pull out one shot, the other shot falls in. You chug the Bailey's and Irish cream. It's called the hand grenade.
And then you and the toilet are going to get really close.
Oh my God. Yes.
You're definitely going to the bathroom.
Oh, it's a strong drink. And like they really should not be serving it for $8, but they do.
But they do.
They do. I don't, I'm
And
like, I
that's
don't know what
why
they.
your black ass needs to stay home.
You know what? I'm gonna have one. I gotta have one hand grenade. It sounds too much fun not to do it.
I'm probably gonna go to the bar across the street from my house. Like, I'm close enough that if the shit pops off, I can run over here and get some melee weapons.
Okay. Make sure you ask them to make you a hand grenade. Don't laugh. You know, listen, just do it.
It's gonna charge me up like Bane juice? I'm gonna just
Like the
kick out the
old
ball
school,
like the Ultimate Warrior.
like the old, like the
Go
old
to
school
my
bang,
house.
the old school bang, they used to have to slap a button to get revved up. Yep, you're gonna be just like that. Oh man, I gotta watch Harley Quinn. I
It's a
miss
really
that
good
show.
show.
Oh, it's an excellent show. Well written. Shout out to
It's
Ron Funches.
fun. Oh man, Ron Funches is so damn funny.
Yes. Yes, he is. So I'm definitely gonna be watching that tomorrow. Give me some more. All right. What
I
the hell
still
is
like to watch Giggle Fit.
it's a great special.
It's a good special. It's a really good special.
You know what? We gotta do an episode where we just talk about good comedy specials that everybody should watch.
Ooh, you know what I'm trying to, you know I want to say it so bad. I still
No,
cannot
don't
believe
do
that stunk that much.
it. Don't do it. Don't
Oh,
do
I'm not going to say it.
it.
Oh,
We're only going to say the good ones. We're not going to talk about the ones that we've been brutally honest about.
my feelings about this are so negative, I don't even want to give the name.
Nope, I'm not going to give the name. I'm just going to give the app. Go watch all the comedy specials on HBO Max and you tell me what's the worst one.
There you go. We will
I
not confirm or deny. But we want to know what you think.
Go watch all the comedy specials on HBO Max and let us know what you think. Who had the worst one? Who had the best one? And we won't confirm or deny. We just want to make sure that you watched. Because you may have watched a train wreck.
And I just want you to know that's safe to say what you saw.
I feel like we're telling them where they can find to see a dead body.
I mean, we really needed Jamie Foxx. Like, this is your conscience.
Bro. Bro, it was so bad. But yeah, go check it out. Oh, man.
Speaking of funny, like, imagine that being one of comedy's greatest moments, and it's not. It's not stand-up. It's not, yo. Bro. I don't know if there's anything on a Jamie Foxx comedy special that's funnier than that. And Jamie Foxx's special are funny.
Funnier than This Is Your Conscience? No.
I don't think anything is funnier than that.
No. No, his specials are good, but that was an epic moment that he capitalized on. And I'm telling you right now, I don't think I could. No, I can't name you a joke that's funnier.
There's not a joke that's funnier.
Yeah. Yeah, he built his career off of somebody's pain.
It was so bad. It was so bad. And like the thing that made it more uncomfortable was that he was right. It yes. wasn't like that made the set that made his little time any worse.
Yep.
He was stinking it up.
Yo. And he called him on it. That's all it is. And that's the thing. Like when you call somebody on it, that's what makes it even worse. Because a lot of people don't have the guts to call somebody out. But like he called him. And that motherfucker, he tried to battle. I'm like, yo, just embrace, just submit, just tap out. Oh, man.
That was hard. That was hard to watch.
All right. And on that note, that concludes our other thing. This has been a free episode because we want y'all to know. Just because, you know, some people are out of the office this week, because sometimes I'll be out of the office. We just want y'all to know, y'all still going to get content. So, Mel. Where can people find you?
You can find me at the Gates of Mel on all platforms. The O is a zero. I be doing TikToks now, so follow me on TikTok. You can also find me doing Mel's Midday Mug with ResistBot Monday, Wednesday, Friday on ResistBot's Instagram. And like I said, the podcast is coming back. And you can also follow the ResistBot Twitter, which I run. So, yeah.
All right. As for
retweet me, my shit, bro.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. As for me, I'm at BakerBone on Instagram and Twitter. So, check me out on there for all upcoming shows and schedule dates. And, I got a bunch of dope shows coming around the city, and I'll be up in Boston the end of March, and I'll be in Xenia, Ohio on April 1st. So if you're around, holla at me. Holla at me, baby. Doing what I gotta do.
Committing. Y'all take care. Peace.
Peace.